All right, welcome in. It's ESPN 1000. Xander Hanley, Jake Cantu on a gray Sunday. You know, Brian, yesterday a couple of solo home runs would not have helped. Why? Because we don't have the pitching. We didn't yesterday. And that's the only distinction. If we're going to talk about home runs and if they matter or not, a couple of home runs yesterday would not have mattered because we got beat up.
You know what also would have does matter? Hits.
Yeah. That goes into the argument. Look, hits, home runs, whatever. If it results in runs scored, that helps. Duh.
I don't want to get George upset because the home run debate we had yesterday. One hit against Dane Dunning. God bless. It was the Dane Dunning revenge game, right?
It was.
Somewhere Fred Huber was smiling, by the way.
I tell you, I tweeted this yesterday, and I think you jumped on it too. It's like Dane Dunning is making us remember who he is and making us lament about where our offense went from last year before the All-Star break. It's the same old.
Thank God the All-Star break's coming like in a week because this team is tired and needs a rest. So I can't
wait. We've done that already. And also done the easy schedule thing. We're running out of excuses, Brian. We have no more.
What's the next one?
I'm not sure. You know what? 312-332-3776. Is there something else we can use? Is there another excuse we can throw into mix?
Are we out of them? I think this All-Star break couldn't come at a better time because this team really needs just to regather, take a breath, relax a couple days, and then go get them.
You know, Brian, I cannot tell now. Now, Dane Dunning did have himself a decent game, but did he have himself a great game, or do we just still suck? Do you understand what I mean? It's hard to tell now who's having a good performance or if it is us. I think it's a little bit of both yesterday. Well, I think he had a great game. However, come on, here's a guy who came in. What was his record? 1-4? 1-5?
1-6?
1-6, yeah.
The one is correct. I think it might be.
Yeah, whatever it was. He only had one win.
Four runs in three games against a team that's eight games under 500.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not known for their pitching.
Actually, 11 games under 500. If you're scoring at home, not a good Texas team is what I'm trying to say.
The Sox are not scoring at home either.
Well, and they're not at home right now. So, see, now you're playing a bad team on the road, and that used to be a formula for success. That was our only hope, right?
We're not at home. We're playing a bad team away from our very own home, because we're good.
Because you're 23-32 against good teams, winning record teams. That's not good. 25-29 at home, not good enough. On the road, 29-24, bad Texas team, bad Dane Dunning, bad Chicago White Sox offense.
Kopech was horrible. And Dane Dunning, I think he had himself a decent game, but I think we helped him too.
One hit? I mean, a grounder, an infield single,
we should be able to do better.
Isn't Justin Verlander out there. I mean, good Lord. So I hate to say this, but I'm watching that game last night.
Oh, come on. You don't hate to say it.
I'm going to say it. Chuck and Dr. Oz were, kind of like they're beside themselves after the game. And Chuck actually tweeted out, I mean, one hit, come on.
Yep.
And I did too. I was like, good Lord. I told you I thought the line smelled yesterday. The Kopech going against Dunning, and Sox need these wins, and they're good on the road, and that's a bad team. -120, and 67% of the money line bets were on the White Sox, and it's all sent 4-0, and you don't even have the good intention of putting another hit on the board against Dane Dunning after the first one. This team, as I'm watching it, that was it for me. Mark August 6th, that's the day not the music died, the day the White Sox died. I can't buy into any more of it. I can't buy into Rick Hahn, shame on you. Whoa, we have championship caliber. We don't need any help here.
This is like that Seinfeld episode.
I'm out.
Yeah, you're out. You just slammed
it. I'm the master of my domain.
I'm out.
Yeah, I put my money down. I'm done. I'm Dane Dunning. That's it. I'm sorry. You can't have games like this. And I know Michael Kopech grew up watching the Rangers and he grew up in Longview, Texas. And Jake, is that close by where you grew up?
He lives in Tyler, Texas.
Yeah, it's about an hour away.
Okay. I mean, and I get after the game, he talked about, well, he had family and friends there and, you know, he felt pressure to put on a show for him.
I would like him to speak up and enunciate a little. It was really hard to, I know he had a disappointing day, but it's like, speak up, bud.
Well, okay, I get it was his homecoming of sorts and all. Is the whole team from Tyler, Texas? Because nobody, I mean, okay, yeah.
There's our next excuse. They're not from there.
Yeah, well, he was sweating like a horse washed out. If you saw a horse going up to the starting gate washed out, like he was sweating like that, you don't bet the horse. Yeah, that the horse is nervous and sweating at the track, and it's hot, and even though it's air-conditioned in that indoor stadium.
Yeah, there's only so much air conditioning can do in a big place like that, right? When it's like 110 outside or whatever it was.
But when he offered up the excuse, well, you know, I guess I was nervous in front of my family and friends. Okay, come on now. The whole team's from Tyler, Texas.
Again, I'm surprised you made that out. I could not understand what he was saying.
Well, but I'm done. You know, I was baptized Catholic, and we used to call it the last rites. I believe they now call it the anointing of the sick. I need to page a priest and get him down to Arlington and say some prayers and get the oil out because this team is, if not done, I say they're done. I say, yeah, I'm going to try to eulogize. If you were eulogizing this team, if you bought into the fact that there's 2022 season's dead, what you try to say nice things about a person after they die if you're given the eulogy, right? Yeah. It'd be a short eulogy. What could you say? Could you go 5 minutes?
Cueto?
Okay, and he won't be here next year.
Okay, that's fine. But there, I mean, you know, there are not enough consistent bright spots.
Well, I'm just saying the eulogy would be very short. Because
it would be short.
This was what the expectations coming in this season have never been even close to realized. And on Monday or Tuesday, Rick Hahn, after did nothing on the deadline, talked about we still have, you know, I said that's tripe. Don't tell me you have championship caliber talent on this team when you've been a 500 team since a year ago, All-Star break. But next week's All-Star break, thank God.
And you know, Brian, I'm going to bring up something that on the day of the trade deadline, I tweeted, today's MLB trade deadline will tell White Sox fans exactly how serious the front office is about winning this year so far. It's been lip service. And I brought this back up today that we were going to talk about this. It is glaring that they didn't do enough, and Rick Hahn seemed to get the message out that it was like, okay, our targets, it didn't work out. How about a plan B? How about a plan C? How about a plan D? It seemed like they had one plan, and if it didn't work, that's fine. You think these other teams that acquired assets at the trade deadline didn't have plan Bs, plan Cs, plan Ds? We have not had an indication from the front office that winning is that important to us when we see other teams doing whatever it takes.
See, but if Rick Hahn is looking at this critically and objectively and basically said, I don't need to make major moves because we're not beating the Astros, we're not beating the Yankees, we might not even win the division, and right now it doesn't look like you will. You're 3 games back again in third because you can't go 3 games over 500. There's apparently some rule in the White Sox handbook that you can't 2 games over 500. You have to lose a game.
That is a mental block right there.
Yeah. Well, it's just who this team is and what this team is. So I'm okay with Rick Hahn not making moves if he believed that this team's going nowhere.
But he's not doing one thing and saying another.
That's right. But don't come out and tell me, we've got this championship. That's, you know, it's a lot of hooey.
Right. And while I understand that and I get that and I agree with you, I'm also thinking, you know, looking at this tweet, it's like, you know what? Yes, you're saying one thing, you're doing or not doing the other. There must have been something he could have done. And I'm taking exception to the fact that they did not do something bigger at the trade deadline. A lot of fans are.
He's like his team. He went down to the clubhouse and said, and Tony La Russa said, well, Rick Hahn went in there and basically apologized, but told everyone he tried hard. And that's what he did. The front office tried hard. This team tries hard. I mean, I'll give them that. They keep saying they're trying hard and they're grinding. And I mean, Jose Abreu said it again yesterday.
You know, Jose Abreu is trying hard.
I know.
I don't think
there's
anybody else on the team trying at that level. Okay, maybe Johnny Cueto.
But that's the bare minimum.
Yes, it is.
Professional should have.
Yeah.
Whatever sport, whatever career you're in, try hard. And that doesn't mean you're going to be a Hall of Fame player or manager. What? You don't get credit. I mean, you shouldn't get credit for trying hard, Rick Hahn. Or you shouldn't get the players. Well, they try hard and they're grinding. This team is not going to the World Series.
No,
I don't think they're winning the division. I think they're dead. I think yesterday I anointed them. I gave them the last rites if I went old school. I certainly.
Now, will you be able to take that back if something unexpected happens?
No, because they're not. They're certainly not winning.
They're not winning the World. Look, that World Series ship has sailed a long time ago for me. I think we talked about that weeks ago. I said there's no way.
Apparently Rick Hahn believed it too, because he didn't do a damn thing at the trade deadline. Okay, got Diekman. You know, they have a parade for that. Whatever. And you know, I'm just saying, watching that game against that pitcher, against that team, and you generate one hit, and Michael Kopech is sweating because family and friends are in the box seats. Yeah, excuse. Done. I'm out. I don't tell me about 19 games against crap teams. Don't tell me about.
All the excuses
games.
Are gone, Brian. We've already talked about that. Right. We're looking for
September,
new ones. They're all
September,
gone.
September, we got division teams again. We'll make that run. We'll make them pay. You know, the other two teams won yesterday, right? So they made you pay for your crap outing too.
Hey, we've got our old buddy Dan in Barrington wants to jump on here on ESPN 1000. Dan, you want to talk about TA? Boy, I agree with you, pal.
Here's my point. Morning, guys. Great show. And not going to rip anyone again today because I'm liking what I'm hearing. But I do have a question. Anyone that knows Steve Stone, his snark and his comment. So last night he called out Tim Anderson. He didn't have to say Tim Anderson being lazy.
Right.
But he made a comment in the seventh inning that he said a normal player who busted out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been safe. This is the fifth time he's called this guy out in the last 4 weeks.
Yep.
So I know he's a sacred cow, and I know we're not allowed to say this, but in every metric and every point of watching a baseball player, Nico Hoerner is a way better player than him this year. Nico Hoerner is heading towards a 5.5 WAR season. Tim Anderson's heading towards a 2. And I don't want to hear about his sore leg because his mouth is never sore. I don't want to hear about his leg. I don't want to hear – he sucks at defense, by the way. Look at every metric. He's horrible. And he can't run. And he has no power like the rest of the team. So I know there's this thing of, oh, he's on a Hall of Fame track. Hall of Fame, my ass.
Who said that? Honestly, who said that?
There's a couple guys who said it in town.
Okay.
And one of them was Brian's old partner in the morning on the other show.
Well, he doesn't count.
Okay, but I will tell you this. Just tell me, and this take a Sox head off, take anything off. Is there anything in baseball besides running his damn mouth this season? I don't care what happened before. That Tim Anderson does better than Nico Hoerner, because anyone that says yes is a liar or a Sox homer. Have a great day, guys.
Okay, all right. You know, I don't totally disagree. It has come to my attention this year that Tim Anderson ain't all what he's cracked up to be.
Well, at least he's not the team leader.
He's not the team leader. Right. He's not the team. I've been saying that for a while. At some points last year, it was like, a little questionable for me. No doubt Abreu is the team leader, quiet as he may be. We don't hear from him much, but he's the team leader. But TA is having troubles in all different kinds of ways. Now, I've heard people bring up his personal life. I don't know what's going on in the man's personal life. I did read some things.
There's a lot of stuff on the social media.
Yeah. And you know what? Everybody has a backstory, you know, whatever. All I know is that Tim Anderson is not living up to what we thought TA was this year. And, you know what, Dan may be right. I mean, I don't have side-by-side with Nico Hoerner. Well, I've always been a fan of Nico Hoerner, and I think he's going to have a lot of great upside.
And he's just getting started.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so, you know, we talked about Tim Anderson not hitting home runs yesterday, averaging 16 each of the last five seasons. you know, he's got a body, he's got a record, he's got a resume, and those are the expectations. And you thought
he's set the expectations that he's now living up, not living up to
at all, whatever's going on. I mean, if you have a messy personal life, how do you leave that at the door of your office? I mean, and that's his office, right? And so I'm not, if it's
life happens to everybody, Brian.
Absolutely does, but there are things you can control. But all I know is
what I'm reading is something he could control, but I'll leave
absolutely.
It right there.
But the point is, and Dan's right, I mean, all you can do is judge him and what he's doing currently.
That's right. That's right.
And he's not doing good enough.
Nope. Not even close to what we expected from TA number 7, the alleged leader of the team. He ain't. No way.
He was the record used to be when he was in the lineup, they had a winning record, and it was.
And we were saying that at the beginning of the year. That faded fast, didn't it?
It was not just, you know, over 500. It was an impressive percentage, right? Yeah. He was the straw that stirred the drink, right?
Right.
It wasn't, you know, Dexter Fowler, he go, we go, but it was kind of that way, right? Right. When Joe Maddon used to say it. And you mentioned Jose Abreu. Why aren't we talking about him being in the last year of his contract at 34 years
old? Well, we have to. We don't want to, but we have to.
But we haven't been. I mean, is it just slam dunk, fait accompli? He's coming back, and for how many years and how much money? And what do you do with Andrew Vaughn if you're going to re-up him for three? I mean,
you're right.
On the north side, we sweat this stuff all the time.
It's the elephant in the room. Well, you know why we haven't talked about that? Because we have bigger, serious, more immediate issues in that this team is nothing like we were told it would be. 312-332-3776. We're back to take your phone calls on the White Sox. We'll talk about Jose Abreu and his future here with the White Sox. Andrew Vaughn, and anything else you want to jump in on, we've got Paul Sullivan coming up with us at 10:30. We're here until 1. We've got a full boat, 3-hour show here on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
There are millions of places to get ESPN Chicago. There are smart speakers, phones, podcasts, standing in front of the old National Bank Studio on State Street.
Hello?
There's Twitch.tv, FMHD, and of course, the original ESPN 1000 on the AM dial. We're glad you found us. And so are these very patient hosts, Mark Zander and Brian Henn.
Bring out your date! Bring out your date! Bring out your date!
Here's one.
Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is. I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill. I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment. Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulations.
I don't want to go on the car.
Oh, don't be such a baby. I can't take him.
I feel fine.
Well, do us a favour.
I can't.
Well, can you hang around a couple of minutes? He won't be long.
No, I've got to go to Robinson's. They've lost 9 today.
Well, when's your next run?
Thursday. You think I'll go for a walk?
You're not fooling anyone, you know. Look, isn't there something you can do?
I feel happy. I feel happy.
Thanks very much.
Oh, cool.
See you on Thursday.
Right.
One of the best movies, definitely in my top 5 of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
Monty Python, Holy Grail.
Life of Brian, pretty good too. But
Life of Brian is a close second.
But I'm that's how I feel.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm going to go for a walk. Well, the White Sox don't walk. We know that. So I'm getting better. No, you're not. Don't keep telling me.
Right.
Don't tell me the schedule's getting better and you're playing better and you're
but
dead.
But I'm happy. No,
and no, you're not.
No, you're not. Yeah, no, you're not. You're done.
You're done. And I'm not happy watching this anymore. And August 6th was the day the White Sox died in 2022. So, I mean, we've gone through the 15 games in 14 days against the division, and boy, we're going to show them. 19 games against losing teams.
Yeah, the easy games, right?
Wait
the easy part of the
healthy.
Schedule, quote unquote.
Wait until we all get healthy. Yeah. That happened this week, right? And meanwhile, 4 runs in 3 games against a bad.
All those excuses. I've got them listed, and they're all checked off.
Yeah, no, not good. Again, the eulogy wouldn't be very long. Well, you know, this White Sox team, they always made us laugh. You know, they lit up a room.
Josh Harrison smiled.
Yeah.
Cueto, the old guy that the little engine that We didn't think the old, could.
The guy, the wily veteran. I mean, there are certain things you could say.
Dylan Cease is awesome. That we cannot. Right. That you are not going to take that away from me, pal.
But the service would be short because you'd hit about three highlights.
So that's it.
You wouldn't sing the praises of Rick Hahn or Tony La Russa, or fill in any player here because they've all had up and down seasons. Jose Abreu, I'll give you. But the fact that he is in the last year of a 3-year contract. We have a Twitter poll today. One of them is, will both Jose Abreu and Andrew Vaughn be on the Sox next year? Jose in the last year of his contract, Andrew Vaughn playing out of position because Jose Abreu likes to play first base, and that should be the home of Andrew Vaughn. Will they both be on the roster, yes or no, next year? And if you're bringing Jose Abreu back, can't you make the argument that you need to trade Andrew Vaughn and get as much as you can for him because you can't have him patrolling the outfield for the next 3 years the majority of the time?
Yes, you can, especially because if we bring back Jose, which he's 35, he'll be 36 in January of 23.
Isn't he 34? But anyway,
he's 35. So if you bring back Jose, okay, and you platoon him more so, but he's still a good glove. At some point, that's going to disappear, and you only find that out once they're playing, and it's like, okay, he's no longer good at first base.
Well, and then we've started to see that a little bit this year, but he still wants to play first base, so you can't.
Yeah, we saw a little, Brian. I have not felt that he has definitely degraded to the point to where he's just a DH now. I'd rather Eloy play that. But the point here is, let me make this point. You bring back Jose, then he is a first base platoon. Okay, so the other side of it is Andrew plays first base. Where else does he play, especially if you have Eloy still, which should be more DH than left field? Something has to give.
Exactly.
What gives?
Right.
I think
point.
Eloy gives.
You don't think they bring him back?
I think we need to trade him to get what we can for him.
Well, he can't. He's a free agent. So he's, he's done. So
wait, Eloy?
No, not Eloy. I'm saying
trade Eloy. And what you can for Eloy Jimenez.
All right. Well, I just the first base issue to me is Abreu.
Well, you see how those pieces fall. That's my point.
Right. But, I mean, the next 2 or 3 years, he still wants to play first base. Like Frank Thomas, he didn't want to be a full-time DH. And
no,
he talked about how difficult it was for him mentally to stay in a game between at-bats. He'd go in the cage and he didn't feel comfortable. And it wasn't an easy transition for him. But, I mean, we're just assuming that, I guess, Abreu's back because he's the leader and the heart and soul.
And he's a big part. Look, it would be like losing Rizzo as you did on the north side. Yeah, that's our guy. I mean, as a fan, I would like to see him brought back.
But
I don't know. And it would be totally consistent with what we've seen from this front office to bring him back. And not to consider the other pieces like an Andrew Vaughn.
See, that's the thing. The easy thing is just, it's a slam dunk. Of course, he's coming back. He's the face of the team, and he's a great leader, and he's a great man, and I applaud and support all
those things. One of the very few bright spots this year.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, the next contract he signs is going to be his last one,
yes,
I assume.
Yes, it will. Yeah.
And so you have a young player who has a lot of ability in Andrew Vaughn. I don't like that idea of, I mean, if Jose's back, I guess I'm making the argument that Vaughn's got to go because he's worth a lot and you can start getting some pieces and moving forward.
Yeah, see, I don't agree. I say Vaughn stays, Eloy goes, and Vaughn and Jose both go back and forth DH and playing first base. Get Vaughn out of the field. Hey, we've got to get to a call. Ron's been waiting for a while. On the south side, welcome in. You're on ESPN 1000, Ron.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, long time, Brian. Look here real quick. I know what Jose Abreu means to the team, but we haven't done anything with it. I really think I don't bring him back. I just go with – so at some point you have to put Andrew Vaughn at first base. This team has to get better defensively, so that means you can put him at first and Eloy – him and he's on DH. You're going to DH. But real quick, guys, is what really disturbed me when Rick Hahn said, "Oh, we have enough." But the thing is, we are looking at this crap, and I'm like you, Brian. But after yesterday, but lastly, because I know we're, guys, they're not going to the playoffs. So the whole World Series or bust, after to me for yesterday, that begins the bust. This team is a bust. You got two guys hitting about 200 with Yasmani Grandal and Yoan Moncada. No matter who they brought in, at All-Star break, this is just a dead ball club. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ron.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, the more what I said for me makes sense. That Eloy, you're going to get a good amount for him. He's the one that has been very injury prone. If you can get a big return for him and platoon Jose and Andrew between DH and first base, and get yourself a stud left fielder.
But the other GMs know he's injured.
But I mean, it's not for me to say how much we would get for him. I would like to look at that possibility first before we get rid of Andrew Vaughn or Jose.
Again, it's interesting because on the north side, we have these season-long conversations about who's going, who's staying, who's a free agent, what can you get for them? Oh, they didn't trade Contreras. Now they got a qualifying offer and a compensatory pick. Not good enough. I mean, but I'm with you. Everyone's still chasing the holy grail of a World Series.
Yeah, the louder noise is the big disappointment of the team. It's so hard to concentrate on Abreu's future when we are just still lamenting how bad this all turned out.
But the GM tells us on Tuesday everything's fine.
And that's why that tweet for me came back, because I know what you said is you get that they did not try to do too much because in his heart of hearts, he does not believe anything big is going to happen. Right. I want him to walk the walk because he's talked the talk. And he should have done more at the trade deadline, and I would have challenged him to have a plan B, C, D, whatever the case is. It doesn't seem like they did. They had a few targets. Things didn't line up perfectly, which they rarely do. And they said, you know what? We tried. Sorry.
Well, and he also challenged the team to have the swagger and get back to swagger. Yeah, where was that last night? One hit, Dane Dunning. Come on.
Well, we've heard it. Does the swagger come first, then the wins, or do the wins help the swagger? I mean, it depends. Or neither. Right. 312-332-3776. John is on hold. We'll get to him when we get back. Remember, we'll talk to Paul Sullivan at 10:30. We're already there. Wow.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's right. Yesterday we started at 9. You see, this clock thing is so odd. Anyway,
should we get our caller in quick?
Now that I've realized what time it is, yes, we shall get John in from Glenview. Hey, John, you're on with the ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley.
Morning, guys. Good show. Interesting conversation. I'm with Xander all the way on it. Abreu is probably your most consistent player on that team. I think you could take out the word probably. He's consistent as hell.
Agreed.
And he's a much better defensive first baseman than Frank was. That was another. Mm-hmm. He's a very good defensive first baseman. Mm-hmm. I called Carmen and Yurko early on in April, and I said I would have traded Moncada. I think that the horse has left the barn on that one.
Yeah, right.
I know he's got a contract, but I would do the same thing. I think if you left Andrew in the left, he wouldn't kill you. But somebody's got to go. And I had a conversation last week. We're up in Lake Geneva playing golf, and I told the one guy, you might want to blow it up. You know, he's going, what are you talking about? I said, okay, you've got a lot to look at there. That starting rotation. You know, which two guys? Obviously, Dylan Cease, Kopech's up and down. I mean, there's a lot of work for that team. You're going to keep Giolito.
Lynn's an older guy. Yep.
Yeah, Lynn's an older guy with a lot of mileage, but he signed. So it's going to be a work of progress and take a while.
Thank you, John, for the phone call. You know what? Initially, it seems like the north side has all the work, but that's not the case at all. The south side has a fair amount of work to do as well. As Brian has officially called this team dead, we'll talk to Paul Sullivan next here. It's Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000. We're taking your calls, too, 312-332-3776.
Welcome back to Xander and Hanley on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Welcome back into ESPN 1000. Mark Xander, Brian Hanley, joined by Paul Sullivan. of the Tribune. We got to talk about these White Sox. Paul, if you've been listening, Brian has declared them officially dead. They're done. They're done. Just like that Seinfeld episode, he slapped the money on the table and said, I'm out.
I gave him the last strikes last night. You got the oil out, said some prayers, and I'm trying to figure out the eulogy.
What a good Catholic boy you are, Brian.
Yeah.
Who would give the eulogy?
It's going to be a short one. There's not too many good things you'd say about this.
And who
team.
Would give
it's
it?
It's been painful.
Would we make Rick Hahn do it?
Got to be Reinsdorf, right?
Oh, no. No, Eminem guy. Eminem guy.
Oh, Eminem.
He's just being on the plate. Yeah. Windy City Limo.
He's
guy.
Been one of the consistencies.
Well, he moved his seat this year. He's over on the
first base side. Or the third base side.
Yeah. Base near the Sox dugout now.
Yeah. Hey, sorry, before we get your take on the White Sox, I got to tell you that the Vin Scully column today, I was watching the Cubs game Friday when they played the video of his 1998, conducting the seventh inning stretch in honor of Harry after Harry's passing. And it moved me a bit. And just a wonderful column today. And you were around Vin forever because you've been a veteran scribe forever, covering baseball. He appeared. I've met him a couple of times and shared, been in the press room, dining room. But he really seemed to be the humble guy that everyone believes him to be. Right? I mean, there was not a phony bone in Vin Scully's body.
Oh yeah, I mean, I can't claim to know him that well, just from seeing him in the booth and stuff and saying hello, and it was an honor to meet a guy like him, and having got to know Harry a little bit, I always use that as an in. But no, he was nice to everyone. You could walk in the booth and talk to him as he got ready for the game. That was one of the things that bothered me when Marquis came over the first year. Of the broadcast, they put a sign on the booth, do not disturb, do not come in, do not enter, so that we couldn't go talk to Lenny. And I always told Lenny, really? And he said, it's not my call. But he was a very personable person. And, it's really a sad week for baseball.
As a kid, him calling the national games, and then I actually moved out to California and lived there for a couple of years and adopted the Dodgers as a local team for as long as I was out there, 3 baseball seasons, I think. It was such a comfort to hear that man's voice.
Yeah. And the stories that, he had so many stories. Yeah, you can tell guys now are just reading, notes from the media guide sometimes. But, he had the real goods. And, it's almost the end of an era. There's not too many guys left like that anymore. And it's a shame.
I will say this about Harry, and Sully. If he liked you, great. If he didn't care for you, he didn't hide it. Get the hell out of my booth, he would tell. I know one guy he told that to, and it was like, Harry made a quick decision on you. Thankfully, he liked me, and we shared some pops on the road and, his limo and everything else. And it was everything. He was larger than life off the air, too.
Yeah, and obviously they're preparing for the game, so that is part of the reason they're trying to kick people out of the booth. But, the beat writers, I thought they're part of the press box. That is part of the press box that they're working in. So, I don't know, just a pet peeve of mine and really apropos of nothing. But God bless Vin Scully, and I just really loved watching all the tributes this week.
Yeah. So, Paul, tell us, make sense of this whole thing that they were not active at the trade deadline. The White Sox were talking about as active as everybody wanted them to be. But Rick Hahn still believes, at least publicly, he's come out and said, we still believe we're a championship quality team. One does not equal the other. How do you make sense of that?
Well, I mean, you got to look at it from his view. What's he going to say? He didn't pull anything off. He's got to, show that he believes in the team. That's basically the MO when teams don't do anything at the trade deadline.
Right.
To me, the only really moves he could have made, he should have made another reliever. Obviously, they did get Dykeman, who's looked pretty good so far. Could have gotten another lefty at bat. But, really the only positions are right field and second base. Josh Harrison, he had an awful start, but he hasn't been too bad the last couple of months. Sheets is really been their only home run hitter lately. Yeah. So I think any move they would have made would have been a minor move. You weren't expecting to make a huge thing.
Right, but the point is that there were other things that they could have done. It didn't seem like they had a plan B or a C. You know, we've brought up the possibility of Ian Happ on this program many times.
Yeah.
I was surprised something like that didn't happen.
Well, I don't think they wanted to give up some prospects for a guy that might not be there for the long term. Is my guess. I mean, I did talk to Han about it, but I'm not making excuses for him. Obviously, it looked bad that you didn't do anything at the deadline, especially when Minnesota made a few good moves, especially getting that closer from Baltimore. So, yeah, it looked bad, but I'm trying to look on the bright side. And he is right that this was a team that was picked to, you know, have the World Series aspirations at the start of the year. You look at the rotation, it's still five really solid names. You look at the lineup now that everyone's healthy, you would think they would score more than four runs in three games, but, you know, just for one reason or another, it just hasn't worked out.
Two-part question for us, Sully, and you wrote about it earlier in the week after the trade deadline. Jed Hoyer on the north side said it wasn't a seller's market, and Rick Hahn said it wasn't a buyer's market. And meanwhile, there was a hell of a lot of activity going up until 5 o'clock on Tuesday. How can both be true? And one of our Twitter poll questions today is, which pitcher has the brightest future here? And would it be Michael Kopech, Keegan Thompson, or Justin Steele? And, you know, I know Kopech's been at it longer, and they're all 27, 26 years old. Right now, as a Cub fan, I wouldn't trade Steele or Thompson for Michael Kopech, either one. I'll take my chances with Steele and Thompson and see where that goes.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you there. I'm really especially impressed with Keegan, you know, his development over the last year. And Justin's, you know, right behind him. I still think Kopech's going to be a great pitcher, but this is some growing pains for him. Yesterday he was looked out of sync from the start. And, you know, when he had like almost 40 pitches in that one inning, you could tell he was laboring. And I do understand that he was, and he mentioned it afterwards, you know, pitching in front of his friends and family back home in Texas might have factored into it. But, you know, you go through his line all season, he never gives up more than a few hits in a game, but he only pitches five innings because it takes him so many pitches to get through the lineup. So, until he becomes a, you know, a seven inning pitcher, he's just going to be a guy that you think can be really great, but you're not really sure.
You know, he has been a overall disappointment. Compare him to Dylan Cease. Now, he had a head start on Dylan, but then had some obviously issues with the Tommy John surgery and everything. What is his, do you think that he would be used as maybe an asset to move this team forward once we get past this non-World Series season for the White Sox?
No, I don't. You mean trading him?
Yeah, or right. I mean, because as a fan right now, Paul, I'm looking at, okay, who do we get rid of? What's our next step?
Yeah, I wouldn't get rid of him. Not yet. It's his first. You got to look at it. It's his first season. Full season as a starter, he did it a little bit before the injury, but I think you got to give him some time. And you look at his overall numbers; he's still very hard to hit. It just seems like he gives up some ill-timed home runs. Mm-hmm. And he's much better when, you know, they give him some early support. You can see him.
Yeah, and that's the point too. I think these pitchers will be unfairly measured in a way that doesn't reflect the fact that the team hasn't supported him, which has been an issue this year for the White Sox.
Yeah, and the guy you're going to trade, I would think, would be Gio, because he's going to be a free agent, and it doesn't seem like they're going to re-sign him, or it doesn't seem like they're even talking. So I think he would be the guy that you would move.
Sully, can you compare this team to another Cubs or Sox team that you covered, where the expectations were such going in, and they've been a 500 team since a year ago, All-Star break, and yet they keep talking, and Rick Hahn implored them to get the swagger back. I don't know how much swagger they've had necessarily. You know, they made it. It was much easier last year, certainly. But this team, it stops and starts. They can't get three games over 500. They were 6-4 in April, and then they, you know, flirted with two games over twice. I mean, there's just no there there. I mean, they can keep talking about grinding, and they're going to 19 games against losing teams and 15 games against division opponents, and they'll make their hay, and they didn't, and they aren't. It's certainly a frustrating team to watch if you're a fan.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I was out with some Sox fans the other night, and they were just all grousing about how disappointing it is. I think about them in comparison to the 04 Cubs, because, you know, that was also a team with coming off that, you know, playoff performance. Even though they lost to the Marlins, they, you know, most players were back, and at that point, everyone still liked Dusty. But, you know, that was, you don't need to go over all that, the whole thing with Steve Stone, and just it was nonstop controversies, always arguing with the umpires, always, you know, looking askew at the media. And I'm afraid to say this team is trending in that direction with, you know, Tim Anderson hasn't talked lately. He wouldn't talk to us after he got suspended the other day. It's just kind of like Tony La Russa's personality is kind of like, you know, blending into the clubhouse a little bit. It's become a little bit more surly than it used to be. With, you know, there are exceptions like, you know, Liam and some of the guys, but right. Really it's not the most media friendly team.
And quickly, any comparison to any recent Sox teams that you've covered over the years?
I don't know. I guess it would be the 2001 Sox.
Yeah.
That were also coming off a mm-hmm. division title, and mm-hmm. then they added David Wells, which was kind of like, you know, adding Milton Bradley to the Cubs that one year. It's just like the worst person possible to add. So, I don't know. I could go over that whole season, but, you know, that was the year Frank got injured, and Wells accused him of faking it, even though he had bicep surgery. It's just the whole – it was just a nightmare from start to finish. But it's always something.
Yeah.
You just said about them adopting and co-opting Tony La Russa's personality at this point in his career. I mean, that is not what this team needs. And I know that the media relations went after you because Tony didn't speak the other day, and you simply tweeted out, Tony La Russa did not meet the media today, and now you're picking on the manager, and everyone's ganging up on
him. Yeah. They're very defensive about Tony, and, you know, I can understand that because he has taken a beating on your station and the other sports station. And I got to give credit to your station and NBC Sports Chicago for, you know, telling it like it is. There's not too many flagship stations or, you know, TV outlets covering their team that are allowed to say the things that you guys say. And I think that's what's, you know, that's what Chicago fans want to hear. They don't want to hear the, you know, brushing up everything. Everything's fine. They don't want to hear that when they can see with their eyes it's not fine. So kudos to you guys for, you know, telling it like it is.
Well, so far, so good. We're still employed. Nobody's coming in here to rip us out of our studio chairs.
Well, you'll get a call from Sox Media very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, well,
media relations.
Somebody will. They won't call me directly, but we'll hear about it.
No, they'll call Reinsdorf. He'll call your boss.
Okay. All right, that's how it goes. All right, thank you for the warning. Paul Sullivan of the Tribune, thank you so much for joining us and talking
You're
about the
best,
White Sox.
Sully.
Yeah, thanks, Sully.
Okay, guys, thanks.
We'll be, we're late on break. We'll be right back taking your calls. Paulie's lined up. If you want to jump in, 312-332-3776. It's ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Zander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago. This is breaking news on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
We go to our producer, Jake Cantu, for the breaking news. I have a feeling it has something to do with the South Side.
It indeed does. First, starting off, per Scott Merkin, Tim Anderson's suspension was reduced to 2 games on an appeal. So he will serve it today, and then one of the games in the Kansas City doubleheader, And then also, we got a move with the Sox. Tanner Banks has been optioned to AAA. Infielder Lenin Sosa from Charlotte.
All right,
up.
good. So that means that we'll see Lenin and maybe not Leury. Brian.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And Tim.
Although Leury made a hell of a play yesterday. I'll give it to him. He made a hell of a defensive play. Didn't matter anything because, you know, 8-0. We got beat. But well, it was a nice play.
We talked about it last weekend. He'd probably get one game taken off on the appeal. So he went from three to two games.
Yeah.
And right now he's, what, on an 0-for-15 with six strikeouts? So might as well serve him.
Yeah, might as well sit him down. Him down. Let him chill out. Give him some cool-out time. You know, back to that real quick. Remember, Tony La Russa was saying something about on that suspension when Tim went after the ump, after he got booted out. He said the ump was advancing toward Tim. I never went back to look at that. Did you bother to look at that to see if Tony was accurate with that? Tony has gone out of his way to protect his players this year, which is him, he is exacting his influence on the team. Last year, we thought he would adapt to the team, but now the team's adapting to his energy level, which isn't much. Did you remember seeing that video? Was that case, or was it just kind of ridiculous?
I mean, they were. It wasn't like either one had two strides to take. They were nose to nose, and the bills of the cap touched. And you can't do it.
I don't care if the ump did take a half a step or whatever. For Tim Anderson, what he did was wrong, and there's no way to glaze over that. There's just no way.
You're not winning that. I mean, you got a game shaved. Okay, that's fine, and that's probably about right.
Yeah.
But it was the umpire didn't come running and bumping you. It was you were in his grill, and you were going nose to nose and jawing, and there was contact, and the umpire isn't going to get a game. He's not sitting down.
Nope.
So you're going to be the losing end of that.
That's our leader, Brian, on the south side, TA number 7. All right, Paulie in Lake Forest wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my call. I never heard Sully before. I kind of like him.
Knows his stuff. He's been doing this forever.
I mean, and there aren't many veteran scribes like that who are so old school and no filter, and he'll just tell you the way he feels.
Exactly, that are willing to say it, say what he feels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this past weekend I've been able to spend with my buddy, ex-major leaguer, pitched 12 years in the bigs. I played for Eddie Stanky in college, South Alabama.
Wow.
We know a little bit about baseball. So Here's what's going on with the Sox. This epitomized the whole weekend, and I had to watch baseball because I was with my buddy. And we went to the Cubs on Friday. Oh, my God, what a waste of time.
That was a nice day.
Yeah, it's a nice, we could have done
some vitamin
thing.
D, you know.
Could have gone out on a boat and done the same thing. But.
And the beers wouldn't have been $14 either on the
boat, right? A lot cheaper in the cooler.
We can encapsulate, epitomize the Cubs, the White Sox season. Compare the heart that Johnny Cueto has with the heart that Giolito and Kopech have. Two emasculated, 30-year-old guys that have no heart. I already heard it's always excuses with Kopech. Oh, I had friends and family. I was distracted, blah, blah, blah. I'm from Texas, blah, blah, blah. Always an excuse. Total diva. Giolito, too. I called in and told Fred a year or so ago whenever he was still on. They should have traded Kopech for Contreras straight up back then. Now you're not going to get anything for Kopech. Everybody knows he's a bum. Everybody knows that everything's got to be perfect for him to succeed. Same with Giolito. And let me add one more thing, if I may.
Yep.
And it's a tight fraternity in the bigs. The whole league knows about Tim Anderson having two girlfriends and fathering a kid with one of them. Now, this guy portends to be this religious dude and all that. I mean, you can't have it both ways. And the Josh Donaldson thing, it had something to do with that. I'm just going to tell you that.
Interesting.
We appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks, Paulie.
We don't know.
That's all speculation. We have no idea. We're just... The rumors that are floating around are available to everybody.
On social media.
Right. So.
I have no, I don't know Tim Anderson. I have never met him.
Going back to the Josh Donaldson thing, although I appreciate Paulie's comment, I mean, that's just, you know, that's behind us. Whatever. The more important issue here is that Tim Anderson is not playing to his previous abilities. What we've seen, he has not been able to reach that this year. He is not our leader, and he is an issue.
Whatever's going on, even if it's just baseball, it's not the Tim Anderson you need to have. And there had not only what we're used to seeing, there should be another level for Tim Anderson or two, right?
And we were hoping that he would reach that. Look, he was a batting champ. What more what other greatness can he achieve? Well, we're not even back at that batting championship level right now. So, you know,
is there tough to watch. I was thinking about this watching Kopech last night, and Paulie, is there a bit of diva to Kopech? He seems like, you know, we were all anticipating his arrival, right? Watched him coming up through the system, couldn't wait till he got here. He was going to be a starter, he was going to be your ace. That didn't go smoothly the way everyone anticipated.
Let's jump into that after break. We'll take we've got phone calls if you want to jump in, 312-332-3776. But I want to dive into this. Is Michael Kopech a bit of a diva? The excuses, you know, how is this landing with you? What we heard yesterday. We'll be back in 2 minutes here on ESPN 1000.